Sleeper Wire, the only fantasy football radio show with more than a dozen multi-time, multi-league, multi-year champions. Listen to the Sleeper Wire show every Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Dash Talk.
Wire show for Tuesday, September 19th, 2017. My name is producer Steve, filling in for Nick Summerall, and I have today with me the professor Chris and my big picture guy Max, and they are going to help me cover this week two fallout. Everything that happened, we're going to go over every game. We're going to talk about the players that caught our eye. We're going to talk about the fantasy value that either comes from it or has dissipated a little bit. We're also going to cover news and injuries. Actually, throughout the show, we're going to talk about waiver wire targets to help you continue your winning streak. Because if you're listening to Sleeper Wire this year, there's a very, very good chance you're 2-0, undefeated so far in the fantasy season. If you're not, hey, listen closely, because we're going to get you back on that winning track. Let's get started with the news and injuries. All right, Professor Chris, Max, welcome to the show. How you guys doing today? How'd you do this week so far? I mean, it's we're recording Monday night, so how'd you do in your Sunday game so far?
It's looking like I'm going to be 9-3.
9-3?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No, I'll take it.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. Right now, the main league I'm focusing on, I'm going to be 2-0. So that's good. I mean, I have our league, which my team isn't panning out the way I wanted it to, but, you know, things happen. It's a long league, long season.
After 2 weeks, I will have at least one win in all 12 leagues, so that's good.
That's a good start. That's a good start. The first bit of news, obviously, is something that I want to start with because, Max, I know you own a ton of stock in this guy. He didn't have a very good week, but Ezekiel Elliott, the news came out today. The NFL motion to stay the preliminary injunction of the 6-game suspension has been denied. So that means the injunction is still in place, which basically means Zeke can continue to play, and this actually increases his chances of playing all season. So cover for me a little bit how this makes you feel.
I'm pretty pumped, actually. I mean, now I know that I got him locked down, supposedly, for the rest of the season. So I'm not going to have that, like, you know, playoff suspension looming over me. I know he had a bad week, too. I don't see it happening again. He's on one of the best running teams in the NFL, and he's arguably the best running back. Definitely top two, definitely top three when DJ's back and healthy. That being said, this week was very odd. They only gave him nine carries. Yes, I know he didn't do much with them, but, I mean, the Cowboys kind of threw away their entire game plan. And they were going against the Broncos that has a good defense, and I feel like they just wanted to try something new, and that something new just did not work out for them.
I think the Cowboys learned that when you give Zeke 9 carries, you're not going to win the game. I really want this whole situation with Zeke to just go away because I'm sick of talking about it every single week, even though there's like a new thing that happens.
Me too.
I'm sick of talking about it all the time.
I know, it's just becoming tedious. Let's go on to the next one then. Panthers, well, they didn't have a very good game this week either. Greg Olsen, though, is the big story out of Carolina. He will undergo some surgery on a broken right foot, expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks. I didn't think Cam looked all that great this week. Not very accurate, and he was under a lot of pressure. His O-line wasn't protecting him too much. So without that safety valve there, who do you guys think is going to be see an uptick in usage?
I'm thinking McCaffrey. I mean, Benjamin is the known number one there. McCaffrey, even though he's being used, I feel like he's not being used to his full potential. And, you know, if they needed to move him to slot and have Stewart in backfield, that's something they could potentially do. He's an extremely versatile running back and just an amazing athlete. So if I had to take a guess on who on that team is going to help you out the most, it'll be him.
Does Carolina have a decent tight end behind Greg Olsen that you'd even consider starting, Chris? Or is this a trip to the waiver wire for you? And if so, who are you looking at?
Well, you're asking me this question, and while you're asking me this, I'm thinking, I have no idea who their backup tight end even is.
Neither do I.
It is Chris Manhertz. Yeah, no clue. I'm not going to be starting him. I think the biggest beneficiary is Devin Funchess. So 4 catches for 68 yards last week. Or on Sunday, I guess technically it is last week since we're talking about this past week. Yeah, I think he is the one who's going to benefit the most. Christian McCaffrey should see an uptick as well. Kelvin Benjamin is still going to get his. But I think you see Funchess sort of dive into fantasy relevance over the next few weeks.
All right. And I think we're going to get into tight end waiver targets later on in the show. So if you are an Olsen owner, stay tuned because we'll talk about that later. In Falcons land, linebacker Vic Beasley will miss a month with a hamstring injury. He led the NFL in sacks in 2016.
I put this one in the show notes because he is a very good defensive player. And in IDP leagues, hopefully you know that this happened. But if not, this is important news for you.
All right, Tyler Eifert is battling back and knee injuries. And his status for Sunday against the Packers is uncertain. I think you kind of had to know that Eifert was an injury risk when you drafted him, if you drafted him. And honestly, I think you should have already a tight end backup rostered if you drafted him. He's kind of like that Jordan Reed situation. You got to have a second one because you know he's going to get hurt. How does this affect the fantasy value of other Cincinnati Bengal players?
I think AJ Green stays the same, but nobody else gets an uptick. I think it's more of a downgrade for everybody else.
Okay. All right.
I am really excited to see what the new offensive coordinator is going to do because something wasn't working, so they had to make a change. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch, but I don't – you know, Tyler Eifert being out doesn't make me excited for any other Bengal.
If you own Mixon, I'd hold on to him for now because if someone goes down, he's right in the mix. But as of right now, Gio's looking good, Hill's looking good, and he's looking good. So it's a true committee backfield, and it's hard to determine.
All right, so a little Corey Coleman news in Cleveland. Suffered a broken hand week 2. He's going to be out for a while. It looks like Duke Johnson may get a little more work. Kenny Britt looked pretty ineffective this week. Do you guys have any value on the Browns? I mean, even Crowell had an off week here.
I mean, I still like Kenny Britt's value because it's nothing. And he's a guy I'd monitor because Kenny Britt, people forget, like he is an elite receiver. He has all the intangibles, rather, to be an elite receiver. And I feel like he could break out with Corey Coleman being injured. And don't forget about Josh Gordon.
God, we are not going to do this.
He's up for appeal. That's all I'm saying. He's up for appeal.
Yeah. I'm just going to disregard that because we're going to argue about Josh Gordon, which has been done plenty of times on this show. Kenny Britt, I agree that he does get a bump up. But I don't think he's anything special. I mean, he had his first 1,000-yard season last year, and he's been in the league since 2009. Mm. So I'm not really excited about anybody. I do still like Crowell. Duke might get an uptick. Is this the same hand that Corey Coleman broke last year? Didn't he break one last year?
Yeah, looks like the same hand.
You don't want your wide receiver to have a broken hand.
Nope.
That's kind of their most important asset.
Yeah, unless they figure out how to catch with their feet. So, I don't know. I'm just not excited about the Browns. In terms of fantasy, like I said, I'm really only want to start defenses against them for a while. And I think Crowell actually makes a pretty nice little buy low target. If you can talk to the Crowell owner and convince them that he's just not going to do anything this year. Let's go into some more stuff about the Titans. This one had a lot of people scratching their head. DeMarco Murray was dealing with a tight hamstring during the second half of the game. Derrick Henry came into the game. I think his trade value went up as you saw him kind of take over for Murray in the second half. And I think a lot of Murray owners are very concerned about that if they don't own both. Also, Corey Davis left the game to some hamstring trouble. So I own DeMarco Murray. Chris, how hard should I try to get Derrick Henry if I don't have him?
As a DeMarco Murray owner, I'm not really trying to get Derrick Henry at all. And the reason for that is that are you ever going to start both of them? If you have Murray and Henry, I know they want to be the exotic smash mouth defense once again, but you're never going to start both running backs. And I would never start, unless something serious happens, I'm never going to start Henry over Murray. So the only reason to have Henry is in case Murray gets injured. And honestly, right now, one of my targets for buying low is DeMarco Murray. I'm going to send out some trade offers for him in leagues this week because I think people are going to be really down on him, and I think you can get him pretty cheap.
Man, that'd be a sneaky little play. All right, Randall Cobb left with a shoulder injury in the Green Bay game. Jordy got banged up too. Actually didn't end up putting up any stats as far as I can tell. It looked like Bennett finally got a little play. Between Montgomery and Adams, they still have weapons. If Cobb and Jordy miss time, Professor, who's going to benefit from this?
Ty Montgomery.
Hell yeah.
I think Ty Montgomery is going to be the beneficiary. I still don't believe in Martellus Bennett. I know 5 catches for 47 yards like is okay, but he still hasn't been what people were drafting him as, and I thought his draft stock was way too high. Some people were drafting him, you know, like 7 or 8 overall, and Aaron Rodgers does not use tight ends, and he never has. And the argument was always, oh, well, he's never had one the caliber of Martellus Bennett. And I was like, well, now he does, and it's week 2, and he's really not using him all that much.
Yeah.
Who was his tight end a few years ago? Was it Finley?
Yeah. JerMichael Finley was a bunch of years ago.
Yeah, yeah. He was sick. And realistically, he had a few good plays a game. Rodgers didn't turn to him like he turns to his actual receivers.
Jay Gruden said that Rob Kelly had a possible rib fracture. Chris Thompson has been great in PPR leagues, especially for the past 2 weeks. I'm going to talk a little bit about Samaje Perine.
Samaje.
I don't know if this to me, this team doesn't look like they have everything together yet. Is if Kelly misses time, I think most people are going to be starting Chris Thompson. But is Samaje, is he worth a start next week?
I think he's any starting running back's worth a start, and he's going to get the carries. He's going to get the bulk of the work. They liked him. He looked really good in the preseason. I know I drafted him in a few leagues late. He has the potential to be good, but this is kind of their MO. They have a bunch of running backs on their team that have the potential to be good and never seem to break out. Alfred Morris, Rob Kelly, you know, the list goes on. So hopefully this guy's the truth, and if you can get him on the waiver wire, I would. He's actually my waiver wire pickup this week because, you know, while Kelly's out, he's the guy to go. And if he's productive, they're going to give him the job. They have no running back loyalty at all. So
yeah, that's true. That's
you're
true.
Still bitter about Alfred Morris.
Dude, he was a great running back. Honestly,
I know, man. I know. I agree with you there.
And every time he'd get him down into like the goal line, who'd they bring in? Roy Helu. Punch it in. Every time.
That's the thing. That's what pissed me off so bad. And like Alfred Morris loves being on the boys, the Cowboys over there. But he's a good little running back. And it's like, you know, teams could have used you, and you were just thrown away for a running back who was just thrown away. You know what I mean? Like, his replacement got replaced so fast, and I don't think they know what to do, and I think their biggest mistake was getting rid of Alfred Morris.
Yeah, if we had a time machine, we could fix it.
If we could go back to 2014 and talk about Alfred Morris. One of the biggest overreactions from this game is going to be people starting Chris Thompson. I think that's going to be a mistake. I know you look at the stat line and you see, 77 rushing yards? Is that what he had, 77 rushing yards? And 2 touchdowns, and, you know, a few catches as well. But the guy only got 3 carries. He had a nice 7-yard touchdown run, but the other one was 61 yards. He broke one off. That's not going to happen every single time. Samaje Perine got 21 carries this game. That tells me that he's going to be the one getting the rock. Chris Thompson, yeah, he's going to get, you know, he's going to get a couple catches. He might get a few carries, but it's going to be Samaje Perine starting.
Yeah, I started Thompson in a couple leagues, and I felt very lucky that he did what he did, but he was a desperation flex play for me. It wasn't something I felt comfortable about. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, but I kind of view that, sorry for interrupting again, as a James White, Gillis Lee kind of combo. But Perine's going to get all the work, but Thompson's going to get all the passing downs, and I feel like they're going to need to pass a lot because their defense, it doesn't look terrible, but it's not looking good.
No, certainly not.
All right, so if we had a time machine, we would have fixed the Alfred Morris situation. I think if a lot of people had a time machine, they would have been overreacting this weekend and gone back in their draft and said, I don't want Jordan Howard. What is going on in Chicago? Spotted with his arm in a sling after the loss to the Bucks, only carried 9 times for 7 yards. I've seen people asking, do I drop Jordan Howard to pick up Carson? Is that a smart thing to do?
Well, actually, if Carson's the starter, then I mean, you're gonna want Carson on your team. But Howard, he's another Gillis Lee, James White situation. Howard has just lost all third down work. but he's still going to be the guy between the tackles. He's still going to be good for you, but he's hurt. So you just got to wait till he comes back. Even when Cohen was killing it in week one, they still went back to Howard. The Bears like Howard. They know that he's a really, really talented young back. And I see them sticking with him when he comes off. Hopefully he doesn't go in the IR, but when he's back from injury, I see them sticking with him, and, you know, he's going to be the between the tackles guy. So while his value isn't going to be probably the first round or like late first, early second round value you drafted him at, it'll still be a solid RB2.
100% agree.
Yeah, I don't think you're dropping him for a waiver ad.
Chris, are you sick?
Yeah, that shit doesn't happen very often, does it?
No, I need to call my mom.
For those of you who haven't listened, Max and I never really agree on players. So
almost never.
Almost never.
Well, I think you guys both agreed on this next bit of news. Terrence was dealing with a soft tissue injury, and I think last week Sleeper Wire pretty much unanimously said Javorius Allen, Buck Allen, add him in waivers if you can. So if you didn't and he's still there, you should now. I think both of you guys would agree that he's the guy to own in the Baltimore backfield right now, right?
He looked really good. He's the guy to own. And it's funny because I feel really bad. A guy I work with asked about any waiver wire picks, and I said Buck Allen. And I saw him today, and he's like, hey, like, I don't know who Buck Allen is. Like, I couldn't find him anywhere.
Oh, the name.
And I was like, oh, no. I'm so sorry, man. I told you his nickname. I figured you knew.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great game. 14 carries, 66 yards, and then what was it, 5 catches for 35 and a touchdown? Like, he was a guy who put up great numbers for you.
All right, Sleeper Wire fans, that is it for news and injuries for this week. Coming up next, we're going to review every game from week 2 through the fantasy lens. All right, so let's take a look at the Thursday and Sunday games with special focus on fantasy value. All right, guys, I'm going to basically just call out the game, give the score, and then I want you to just jump in and give me your take on fantasy value, ups and downs, players that caught your eye, players that disappointed you. All right, here we go. Let's start with the Thursday game. Texans beat the Bengals 13-9. Talk to me about Mixon.
Joe Mixon is one of the guys I'm trying to trade for this week because I do think this is the last week that you're going to be able to buy him fairly low. He did lead the Bengals in carries last week.
See, I don't really want Mixon. I know the door is opening for him. He is kind of emerging as the most talented back. Geo still looks good to me. I still like Hill. Like I do, to me, there's still talent there, and there's a lot of talent there. So if I was actually going to go after Mixon, I would try to sell high on someone. You know what I mean? I would try to, like, Chris Thompson if I didn't believe in him. You know what I mean? If it was a non-PPR, I'd try to do that. Maybe Jaquizz Rodgers for him because I feel like Rodgers is a rental and Mixon could be a long-haul sort of guy. So, like, I'd go that kind of route. You know what I mean?
Lamar Miller owners, though, were freaking out after the game. They're talking about add Foreman. Who do I drop to add onto Foreman? Do you ever see this becoming Foreman's backfield completely, or is this just shifting towards like a 50-50 split?
I don't think it's going to shift towards 50-50. I think this is just Thursday night football offense. You know, nobody did well in this game. Lamar Miller, he still had 18 carries.
More. Yeah, couldn't agree more. If you watch the Houston game, which I'm assuming if you listen to the show, you probably do. If you have any shares of Miller, you probably did. I feel like their running situations are just still so predictable. I said it last season. I could tell you when they were going to run before they ran it. And I feel like they ran a lot more, not trick, but they hid the run better when Devonta Foreman was in. You know what I mean? I feel like they were at a pistol every time that Lamar Miller was going to get the ball. And it was just kind of like it's 3rd and 1, so they're definitely going to run it. It's 1st down. They're definitely going to run it with Lamar Miller. Like, it's without a doubt in my mind. And he was getting stuffed a lot. He was productive in the receiving game. Devonta Foreman's a bigger body. He's a change of pace, and change of pace backs usually do well, i.e. Chris Thompson, because they have a little extra step or edge that the defense isn't ready for out of the running back because they prepared for someone else. So in my eyes, it's not going to go 50-50. At worst, I'm seeing 30-40, or 30-70 rather, with Lamar Miller getting 70% of the work and Foreman getting 30, and that 30 is going to be like, you know, maybe it's 1st and goal, or like, one on the 1 yard line, you might want Foreman in because he's a little bigger of a back.
Right.
So this might be a good time to target the Lamar Miller owner if they're freaking out. It might be a good place to trade him. Trade for him, I should say. All right, the Bills-Panthers, they didn't really impress in terms of score. It was a defensive battle. But Cam Newton got hit a lot. Six times he was sacked. The last one looked bad. I would say roster a second quarterback if you own Cam Newton, if you can. I'm not sure he lasts through the entire season without missing a few games. We kind of already talked about Olsen missing some time. Anything else on the Panthers that stood out to you guys?
Jonathan Stewart still getting the carries, still 15 carries.
Yeah, I think they're starting to go more McCaffrey. You're starting to see the beginnings of the shift.
I don't know. I think Stewart's still going to get his.
Oh, Stewart will still get work. It's Jonathan Stewart. He's really never fallen off. I mean, he gets hurt a lot, but that's besides the point. But if you want to talk about 50-50 splits and true 50-50 splits, I don't see a better backfield than the Panthers to witness that happen. And I could say, like, by week 9, if McCaffrey's healthy and still doing work and looking great in the passing game, blocking pretty well, I could see him, you know, edging out Stewart in the end.
We've got to talk a little bit about LeSean McCoy. He had a pretty bad day by his standards. I don't think you want to start anybody else from Buffalo at this point. Am I right on that? Or are we not starting Jordan Matthews? Are we not starting Zay Jones anymore?
I'm starting Zay Jones in deep leagues.
Yeah.
I think that kid has some nice. I mean, Jordan Matthews, PPR, they're still going to throw the ball. They're losing. So I like it. They're wide receiver 3 flex. Like, they're not anything to, like, you know, write home about, but
I'm not like super pumped when I put one of them on my
yeah, I mean, it's not, let's just say, like, if you dropped Jordan Matthews, you can probably pick him up next week. But that being said, you know, if you need a flex or a bye week fill-in, there's a chance he could be perfectly fine for you. And I feel the same way about Zay Jones. I feel like Zay Jones has some big play potential because he's, you know, not a small dude, and he puts his, like, body on the line for the ball, which is great. And I know the Bills want to tank, but Tyrod and LeSean do not. They want to win.
Yeah, so, I mean, no panic on those guys, right? You're still starting them, right?
Yeah, you're still starting them. I mean, I don't know if I have any shares of Tyrod this season, but LeSean McCoy I'm still starting. I'll play Jordan Matthews in the flex or as a wide receiver 3. And then Charles Clay, I think people might panic on him after this week. I still think you need to hold on to him.
I feel like there's no reason to panic on a tight end unless it's Gronk, Jordan Reed, or Kelce, where you wasted a high pick for them, because tight ends are a dime a dozen. If Clay isn't working out, go for Julius Thomas, who's actually looking good with a quarterback who throws to tight ends. Go for Hunter Henry. I think Gates is, you know, on his way out, realistically. Like, I have Doyle. Doyle did great for me this past week.
Do you think Antonio Gates retires mid-season since the only reason he stuck around was to get the record?
See, I don't think so. But I do think that his play time is going to drop unless they're losing by 5 and they, you know, Hail Mary. That's when you're going to see Antonio Gates, because you're going to want that big body down there, because he has no reason to keep punishing himself. You know what I mean? Like, he did it. He broke the record. He has the record.
I agree.
Give it to the young guy. Let him get beat up.
All right. Well, let's transition to that game. The Dolphins and Chargers was our first look, really, for this season at Ajayi, Parker, Landry, Julius Thomas, as you mentioned, Kenny Stills, and Cutler. Was there anything that popped out at you guys that either confirmed some feelings you had before you drafted them or changed the feelings you had before you drafted them?
We were doing a show, this was a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the sleeper wire wide receiver rankings, and then comparing, I think this was on the Dash Radio show actually, and comparing them with our own personal rankings. And I said, I still have Jarvis Landry inside my top 20 in PPR. And Nick and Mickey both thought that was crazy. I think I had him at 16 at the time. And, no, it's Devontae Parker, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what? Everybody's freaking out about Devontae Parker and Jay Cutler. And they were doing that because of one preseason game where Jay Cutler came in and said, oh, well, he targeted Devontae Parker 3 times that game. I was like, yeah, it's the damn preseason. Who cares about 3 targets? Landry had 15 targets, 13 catches, and 78 yards. That confirmed everything I thought about Landry.
See, I love Landry, but I was definitely on the Parker train, and not because of the preseason, but because of actually what Jay Cutler said when he said he reminds me of Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, he did say that.
That, to me, was like, that's it. Like, Landry gets his targets. He gets a million targets. He always has. You know what I mean? He's got sure hands, and he's a guy where if you throw him the ball and it's within his range, it's almost guaranteed to be a catch. But Parker, I didn't say it last year. I didn't want to say it. I didn't believe it. But with Jay Cutler, who I think came out and showed that, you know, he still got it. Parker, to me, is a boomer bust wide receiver two now and has the potential to be a wide receiver one if he and Jay can really click. Because by comparing him to Alshon Jeffrey, who is an elite receiver, Jay Cutler just announced to the world, like, hey, this guy's going to get looks. And Parker was covered pretty well this game. And Landry's so shifty that he just got out of everything. I mean, it's Jarvis Landry. You really can't contain him.
Yeah, and this game also confirmed everything I loved about Keenan Allen. No, 9 catches on 10 targets for 100 yards. And Melvin Gordon, who I'm still seeing all this hate. Just Melvin Gordon's just yards per carry is just so bad. And that does not matter. I don't care how many yards per carry a guy is getting when he's got so much opportunity and production. Yeah, 9 carries for 13 yards. But then he also scored a touchdown. He had 7 catches for 65 yards. Melvin Gordon's an absolute stud. So this game, everything I believed about Landry, Allen, and Gordon was true.
Yeah, this game actually with Gordon was huge for me because I like Oliver in the passing game. And when Melvin Gordon like genuinely shined in the passing game through the air attack, like he looked like he was made for it. It was definitely a surprise for me, at least. To me, that solidified, like, this guy is going to get all the snaps unless he needs a breather. And I think that's kind of what we saw play out. I know Oliver did have a better yards per carry, but, I mean, come on, he had 3 carries. But Melvin Gordon showed me something that I didn't think he had. Like, I thought he was an extremely good running back. I just didn't think he was, like, a Todd Gurley, Lamar Miller caliber, like, receiver out of the backfield. But this game kind of shows he is, and that he has the potential to, in a PPR, be a great running back for you. And I'm kind of regretting avoiding him in PPR leagues now.
Vikings and the Steelers. Sam Bradford just missed the game, so Case Keenum was the starter. You could see Dalvin Cook this week against the Steelers. Couldn't really get it going, but he looked okay. Do you guys have any fears about Dalvin Cook, or is it cool to drop Latavius Murray at this point, and Cook is basically the guy?
Cook is the guy, but you can't drop Latavius Murray yet. And the reason I say that is Latavius Murray is a starting running back. And I know people like call me crazy because I loved him, just like I love Christine Michael, which, you know, he's done. Latavius Murray last year was a great, great running back. And when Oakland tried to get away from him, they had to go back to him because he was so much more talented than the running backs they had. The talent's still there. The guy's still young. He's got a lot of life left on those tires. And if he overtook Dalvin Cook, I would not be surprised. And it's not because Cook isn't talented. It's because Latavius Murray is a veteran. He knows what to do. And what Dalvin Cook's doing, he's already done. Like, he's done it. He's been great. He was some people's number two running back and was a very serviceable number two running back for an entire season. And the year before, you know, I know I threw him in when he was a no-name. And what, he had like 4 rushes for 200 yards and a couple touchdowns? I mean, Dalvin Cook shredded the Saints, but I think we know now every running back's going to do that. I think Dalvin Cook's a good running back, but I also think he's a rookie, and he's not a rookie of the maybe Fournette caliber. So there's still wiggle room there to lose his job. Just like I don't think Mixon is that caliber where it's like, yeah, Hill could still take the job, Geo could still take the job. Like, you don't want to get rid of Cook. You should start him while he's hot. Do it, but Latavius Murray is still the threat that's there. If he's on the waiver wire, there's a good chance I'm going to have him.
Chris, any thoughts on this game?
You can drop Latavius Murray.
Yeah,
right. I think you can. Thielen, Diggs, and Rudolph are all going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, they looked okay. All right, so the Bears and Buccaneers, kind of an ugly game. We told you last week Cohen was the must-add, and now with the news of Howard with his arm in a sling, I think you have to have him. What was good about this game, guys? Chris, let's start with you. The Buccaneers, what did you see? The first game back here, are you feeling good about Doug Martin coming back in a couple weeks? Is he going to fit in nicely here?
Yeah, I do like Doug Martin a lot. I think he's going to be just fine. Mike Evans looked like Mike Evans, which was great to see. And the another guy that I'm looking to maybe put some trade offers out there is actually a Bears receiver, which sounds weird to say. But I liked Kendall Wright going into this matchup, and he had 7 catches for 69 yards and was targeted 10 times, so I think that's a good sign.
All right, Max, any thoughts on the Bucs or even Chicago offensive? fantasy players?
Take a flyer on DeSean Jackson. Take a flyer on Kendall Wright. I mean, the guys who you expect to be good are good. And it sucks Howard's hurt. I mean, I know I had a few shares of him. Besides that, it's pretty cut and dry.
All right, Cardinals beat the Colts 16-13. Arizona O-line, I think, needs to improve a little bit. And Carson Palmer just doesn't look very good.
Palmer, I see bouncing back. He looks bad, but there were some throws he made. Like, I know to J.J. Nelson for the touchdown. That was such a beautiful throw. And it was such a precision throw that I was like, oh, my God, that's amazing. Maybe he's still there.
Shouldn't have happened.
Shouldn't have happened, but it did. And, I mean, CJ2K looks like he's taking back his role, which, you know, I should have seen coming. But sell high on J.J.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much you're going to get from him. He's actually one of the players in the great debate this week, so go listen to that one if you haven't yet. But, yeah, Chris Johnson looks like he's, you know, going to take over. 11 carries. He led in rushing attempts and rushing yards. You're still starting Larry Fitzgerald, in my opinion. That's not going to change. And Jack Doyle looks like he's going to be just fine with Jacoby Brissett throwing the ball.
Yeah, well, and now we've heard also that Luck is going to miss week three. And so is this hurt everybody's value, or is this hurt? Like, Moncrief didn't look good this week. Hilton was okay, but not great. I mean, he might be a buy-low target. So in terms of the Colt offense, Chris, what do we do here besides starting Jack Doyle and Frank Gore, I guess?
Yeah, and even Frank Gore, he only had 46 yards. He did get into the end zone, but it still wasn't that great. I'm trying to buy low on T.Y. Hilton, and one of my deep sleepers for the season actually led the Colts in targets, and that was Kamar Aiken. So Brissett clearly likes throwing to him as well.
Chris, yeah. I got a question specifically for you. Do you, like, I already have my opinions, but do you think the team's actually going to get that much better with Luck?
Yep.
Because I don't. He's an injury risk, and that O-line, honestly, like, if I owned Luck as my quarterback and I had him on the bench because he's hurt, I probably wouldn't start him for a few weeks. That O-line is still horrible. Jacoby Brissett's doing well because he can move. I think that's why Doyle's doing well, because Doyle's the check down, because Moncrief, he's not impressing me. T.Y., even though I do think he's good, he needs to move with Brissett. He needs to realize that O-line is probably the worst in the league. And I just feel like that's not going to be fair to Andrew Luck, and that's why I don't have the highest hopes for Luck this year.
Ugh. We've seen Luck with the same offensive line be a superstar.
But if you have him on your roster right now, is there a week where you say, okay, I just can't keep him anymore? Like week 6, week 7? Like, what point do you just cut him?
If it's week 7, and like say he's out this week, so he's out week 3.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he comes back week 4. Goose egg, like not goose egg, obviously, but like he doesn't do well. He's not connecting with Moncrief. T.Y. is the only one getting work. Doyle's kind of not really getting looked at. He throws 2 touchdowns next week, throws 2 more touchdowns. I would consider other options. Now, it's Andrew Luck. You can't just drop him because, you know, he has the potential to be a top 2 quarterback at any given moment. But if like Matt Stafford's out there come week 7 for some odd reason, and Andrew Luck, you know, is struggling behind that terrible offensive line, and Moncrief's not doing what we all expect him to do, and T.Y. can't carry the full load, yeah, I mean, I would look elsewhere.
You don't think the Colts will be better fantasy-wise with Luck than Brissett?
I think some will. I think T.Y. will. I think Brissett, honestly, for getting his like first like true run at being like the head QB and actually throwing the ball, not like what he did with the Pats, which was basically just run and run and run, I think Brissett's doing really well with what he's been given. Moncrief, he's running bad routes. He can't break coverage. T.Y. is doing the best he can to, you know, try to make life easy for Brissett. But Brissett's making plays and making things work when he has to and when he can. Andrew Luck is a better quarterback. Brissett isn't a bad quarterback, though. A perfectly thrown ball is going to change a little bit, but I see T.Y.'s value going up. I see Doyle's value going down, and I see Frank Gore's value going up because they're going to expect Luck to throw the ball a million times. Moncrief, I kind of expect him to be the same because I just don't see him happening right now.
I don't think Doyle's value goes down at all. I just think it's crazy to think that Luck coming back does not give everybody a boost.
It's just a feeling. You know what I mean? I didn't say drop him. It's a feeling. And I just don't feel good about him this year.
Not my feeling.
Hey, everybody's, let's go ahead and move on. Everybody's feelings are valid here on this show today. Except for Chris's feelings about the Patriots, because we know they're going to be negative. They beat the Saints 36-20. Any guys that caught your eye in this game? Kamara, to me, definitely caught my eye. I'm not sure if I want to keep Peterson on my team for much longer. Maybe Brandon Coleman is worth a flag as well. What do you guys think about the players in this game?
If the Saints' defense is going to continue to be this bad, Kamara is going to get the work. I think AP is going to be traded. Personally, he doesn't want to be there, and they don't want that contract. He was expecting a full workload, so you might be seeing AP in Arizona because they need a starting running back. I like Coleman a lot. Liked him last year. He didn't really do anything for us, but you know, I do like him. And Hogan. Everyone thought Hogan, and he finally, with no other competition, stepped up and came and did really, 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 really well.
Well, I mean, 5 for 78 and a touchdown. He did well.
I think he did really well for what I expected him to do, because I had him in my DraftKings and I took him out, and I put in Macklin, who got hurt, which killed me. He came back, but it still killed me.
Yeah, you had a touchdown.
Yeah, he did. I expected Cooks to actually be the much bigger threat there. You know, it was a come home game, revenge against your old team. But I feel like Cooks and Brady really aren't clicking yet. The people that own that team are still the running backs right now. James White, Deion Lewis still getting work. Gronk, depending on how his injury is, and Gillisley. But I like Hogan. I expect more from him with Edelman and Amendola sidelined for now. Edelman's out indefinitely.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like this proved to me that Brady has a lot of trust in Hogan, and Hogan has the ability to make the big plays. That's why I think he did really, 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 really well.
I think Drew Brees is missing Willie Snead. Saints are 0-2. I think they need him back.
Kind of forget about him a little bit, don't you? I mean, he's definitely going to be a guy that you might even consider trading for the owner. Ooh. that's hurting for
whoever
some reason.
Has him, give him J.J. Nelson. You'll thank us later.
See, I'm not sure if that's going to work because it's not like he was underperforming. If people have been holding on to him for a couple weeks, they're not going to trade him away for, you know, a waiver wire pickup.
Yeah, but if they need the help and they're seeing the numbers that JJ put up 2 weeks in a row, they might be like, you know what, JJ is the new number two.
Yeah, if
it's not
going to
be Brown.
If they're 0-2, maybe they lost Robinson. You know, maybe somebody else is hurting.
But on the other side, they only have to wait one more week till Snead's back.
Well, on the other side, if you're 0-2, you're definitely in a win now mentality. Not a lot of people. I know in a few leagues I'm in this year, I lost the first game. My friend's like, oh, that must be rough. And I was like, it's one game. But I know there are some people that one game, their first game, they're freaking out. If they lose two in a row, they're like, oh, my God, something needs to change now.
Jeremy Maclin scored a touchdown this week. He's looking like wide receiver one. Chris has been talking about him all year. Draft season, we're talking about him. The Ravens beat the Browns. Ben Watson had the team-high targets for Baltimore, which was exciting. And we already talked about Buck Allen or Javorius Allen, if you're looking for him on the waiver wire. Mike Wallace didn't look that good, though. Is he worth dropping, picking up for somebody that's maybe a little bit more high upside?
I think if Wallace has another one-catch week, then, yeah, you can think about dropping him, but I wouldn't drop him just yet.
Okay.
Agreed.
All right. We kind of already talked about the Browns. We're okay with Crowell. We're going to keep him. Duke Johnson maybe a little bit better with Coleman hurt. Max likes Kenny Britt's potential. We'll
David Njoku might get a uptick due to the Corey Coleman injury.
Yeah, he looked okay. The Chiefs beat the Eagles. This was a fun game to watch. 53-yard run by Hunt went into his 81-yard total. To me, that seems like he needs a big play every week. Do you guys think Kareem Hunt can get the big play every week and be worth the start, or was this a little bit concerning to you?
I don't think he necessarily needs a big play. It's only week two. It's only the second week we've seen him, you know, need a big play. He was an animal week one, every play. Week two, that 50-plus yard touchdown run definitely helped him a lot. But week one, he had 17 rushes for 148 yards. So if you think about that, take away his 158-yard rush then, it was 16 for 90. That's still a great game.
Right. All right.
So, I mean, I don't think he necessarily needs it. I do think the workload will be there either way. Teams like Denver, after they shut down Zeke, teams like maybe Houston or the Jags, I might be a little hesitant on starting him. But it's Andy Reid's team, and the dude loves running. They've had us RB1 year in and year out.
All right. Chris, Zach Ertz was the top target in Philly. Wentz threw a ton of balls, 333 yards total. Alshon had a good game, too. What the hell happened with LeGarrette Blount this week? I'm ready to drop him. Is it time?
Yeah. Did he even get a carry? It's not time, guys.
He might have
got
one. I don't know. He might have touched the ball.
Why do you want to keep someone who's not getting any carries?
It was 1 week and they were losing. I'm going to look up what the stat line was. So Smallwood got 3 carries for 4 yards with a long of 8. Terrible. Sproles, 10 for 48 with a long of 12. So, you know, that's 9 for about 36. Not that bad. But Sproles isn't that kind of running back. This game was lost through the air. And that's not going to happen very often for the Eagles because I do think they're a decent little team. So Blount, where he's not going to be, you know, a great running back for you, he's going to be an RB3, but he's going to be a high-end RB3 with extreme boomer bust potential. So as a fill-in for a flex, I would have no problem rolling him out, especially when they play an easier lineup.
Extreme RB3 with high boomer bust potential does not sound like a guy I want on my team.
A high-end RB3, low-end RB2 most weeks. It's matchup dependent. But like that being said, I wouldn't drop him if you're using him for what you probably drafted him for, which is going to be a bye week fill in.
Because I don't think you're ever going to start LeGarrette Blount.
I can't feel comfortable about it after this week. If he just
if it happens again,
yeah. But if it happens again and I got him in my lineup and I get a goose egg, like I would expect at least 4 points, maybe. You know,
well, you got to think of this though. It's like next week they're playing the Giants. The Giants, it depends on how they look tonight. They could look terrible. Blount will get work in the end zone, killing time. They play the Chargers. Yeah, that's Blount time because their D-line's terrible. Arizona, same thing. Because Arizona can sometimes have a good secondary. Terrible D-line as of right now. Carolina, I probably wouldn't start them. Washington again, probably wouldn't start them. All right.
We don't
San Fran stardom. Denver, no.
Hey,
Dallas,
we don't need to go through their
whole entire schedule.
Well, I mean, I'm going through their schedule because you guys are trying to drop a guy after 1 week when he had an okay week one. And no one drafted him early enough to warrant him being an RB2. And if you did, you went full, like, no running back, which we warned you all offseason, this year especially, not to do.
Right.
Yeah, because you end up with someone who doesn't get any carries and you have to play him.
But the thing, though, he's going to get carries. He didn't this week because they were losing the whole time. I don't expect that to happen a lot.
And if you'd like to know LeGarrette Blount's schedule breakdown, get with Max on Sleeperbot at SW Max. Or Max SW. He'll tell you the whole thing. They give you projections for every game. All right, the Titans and Jaguars. Let's wrap this up. We got a couple more games left. Titans and Jaguars. Leonard Fournette didn't really do a whole lot. He got that touchdown that kind of saves his day. Hearns, though, in some garbage time, got some scores. Is this guy somebody you want to pick up and start? We were talking about Marquise Lee last week, but maybe it turns? I don't know.
Well, on the Thursday preview, we talked about with Robinson being out, is there anyone that we want? And we said, I think someone said Hearns and I said Lee, and they both had good games. I mean, I know Hearns got the touchdown, but Lee still had 7 catches for 76 yards on 12 targets. Yeah. Hearns had 6 for 82 and a touchdown on 7, but Lee was targeted very heavily. If it were my call and I had to pick one of these, I would still take Lee, but I wouldn't blame you for wanting Hearns.
Now, do you think that Bortles is going to be the quarterback much longer, or you think they're going to look elsewhere? I mean, they can't trust Henny. They can't trust Bortles. If there was ever a team that was going to call Colin Kaepernick and, God forbid, pay him $17 million when he's worth 10, it would be the Jags. They need a new face. They need something.
I agree, but I think they're going to stick with Bortles.
Jets and Raiders, huge blowout. This was a 45-20 win. And Max, I believe you said a long time ago in the preseason that you see the Raiders putting up scores in the 40s throughout the season. This was a great game for them. Anything pop out at you real quick? There's not a lot to talk about in this one.
The Jets actually put up numbers that I know the Raiders have a bad defense, but you know, Jermaine Kearse or Curse or however you want to pronounce it, he looked pretty decent. He's definitely the number one now. McCown trusts him. I know Chris has more to add on him. Michael Crabtree, I hate to say it, but Cooper is not the number one.
No, he's definitely not. And I don't have any shares of Cooper because I'm not going to take a team's wide receiver 2 in the second round.
He has the talent to be a number one, which sucks, and he gets targeted a fair amount, but He is definitely not Crabtree. Crabtree is what everyone thought he was going to be in San Fran. He's just a big dude who catches the ball and pulls it in the red zone. And Derek Carr is exactly what I thought he'd be. He was 23 for 28, 233 touchdowns. He's an effective quarterback, throws the ball well, and he does really good. And another surprising thing was actually Lynch wasn't that effective. Richard was. Richard was 6 for 58. I mean, he hit a long of 52, but 12 for 45 isn't that great from, you know, the beast mode. So I hope he bounces back because I don't think the Jets' D-line was that good.
Broncos and Cowboys, wow. Simeon was looking like a nice bye week quarterback, two quarterback type of guy this week. We told you not to worry about Ezekiel Elliott too much. Dez got targeted a lot in this game. Jason Witten scored again. Haven't heard a lot from Cole Beasley. Should I be concerned if I picked him up in a late round in a PPR league?
No, you picked him up in a late round. Like that's what you expect from Cole Beasley. He's just like he's a guy that some weeks he's going to be a boom and some weeks he's going to be a bust, and it sucks to say that when fantasy football is like, you know, the thing. But this was a matchup that didn't bode well. I think Chris would agree. When you have Dallas playing like teams that you expect high scoring games with not the best defenses, that's when Beasley's going to shine. But you know, Denver has a stout defense, and they just beat the piss out of the Cowboys.
I was telling people play Dez even though he's going against the Broncos. You don't sit Dez Bryant.
It's Dez Bryant.
Like Ryan, people were asking, do I sit Dez? No, it's still Dez Bryant. 7 for 59 and a touchdown, 16 targets. That was probably my favorite stat for Dez Bryant of the game, is that he got targeted 16 times, which is huge. I know game script dictated that Dallas had to throw the ball, but still, 16 targets is a lot. Jason Witten got 13 targets. He looked great, 10 for 97 and a touchdown. Looking at just those two players, Jason Witten and Dez Bryant, you're like, oh man, the Cowboys must have had a great game. And then, nope.
Well, I think you're seeing the true colors of Dak Prescott. He was getting beat up by an extremely good defense, and he hit the panic button. And he was throwing to his all-star receiver and his Hall of Fame tight end. And that's all he was doing. And that's all he wanted to do. Because he needed the guys that he knew could handle it to handle it.
And you know Cole Beasley still got 8 targets, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. Cole Beasley, I feel like Cole's a security blanket for Dak. You know what I mean? So Dak's going to turn to him. But when you're down and out and you have Dez Bryant on your team, you're going to just hurl the ball at him. Then Jason Witten is a Hall of Fame tight end. You're going to throw the ball at him. I think this was a poorly coached game just because of how quickly they ditched the run game. Even when you had Houston, who was losing at first or not looking that hot, they stuck with a run game. The Jags against Houston stuck with a run game. They kept beating up the D-line, weakening the D-line, beating up the D-line, and eventually, you know, the run game got going and they were able to open up the offense more. Dallas didn't do that. Dallas hit the panic button and just went nuts and couldn't get it done.
All right, let's move on to the Seahawks and 49ers. This was in a low-scoring game. Seahawks won 12-9. Is Chris Carson the only guy we need to talk about in terms of players here, or is there somebody else that caught your attention between these two teams?
Yeah, Carlos Hyde had a great game, 124 yards. Chris Carson was probably the most surprising in that he got 20 carries. We were talking about Eddie Lacy a little bit earlier, I think when we were talking about LeGarrette Blount, and Lacy was a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
They just say, you know what, we're leaving you at home.
Yeah, it's not good.
You're not even playing today. Rawls got 5 carries, but Carson got 20, and I think that's a great sign. I think he's going to be the guy, which is weird to say because no one had, you know, really heard of this kid a month ago. But Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson looked really good. Tyler Lockett got 9 targets, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and he actually looked pretty good with those 9 targets, too. Doug Baldwin, I mean, they both had 6 receptions, but Tyler Lockett's shaping up to be a decent number 2 receiver. And I'm not necessarily going to say they're going to need to throw a lot this year, but they're going to need to throw because their O-line is so bad.
I think Tyler Lockett is going to be this year what everybody thought he was going to be last year.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, I think people are low-end, too.
Yeah, just a year too early on him.
Yeah.
He got crazy hype last year.
I think Pierre Garçon did exactly what I thought he was going to do this week. And, you know, Goodwin, they had the exact same 3 receptions, 26 yards.
Yep.
It's a rough team to be on.
Well, it's also a rough defense to play.
Yeah. When you have one of the lesser O lines against one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Exactly.
Things usually aren't going to work out your way.
Yeah,
they just got lucky that Seattle's O line is abysmal, so they were able to pressure Russell Wilson enough to keep themselves in the game for as long as they did.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Pierre Garçon at all. This was an unfortunate matchup, but I think he's going to be fine. Just don't play him against Seattle again.
All right, let's talk about the Redskins Rams real quick. Redskins won 27-20. We talked about a lot of the Redskins already. Let's talk about the Rams real quick. Todd Gurley had a decent day, a couple touchdowns, kind of saved you. Very involved in the passing game. Cooper Kupp looked okay. No Sammy Watkins, really. Not too crazy about that. Were you guys concerned at all? Is he still like somebody you want on your team, or is he just don't see it happening this year? And would you pick up Jared Goff if you're in a two-quarterback league, or maybe like you had Cam Newton and you're not feeling good about his health staying the whole year? Is he somebody you might pick up as a flyer?
I never liked Sammy Watkins. And Goff is a flyer, yeah. I'd probably feel more comfortable with Simeon just because he's in a division where you're going to throw more.
Right.
And the Rams have a tough division. That's just how it is. Like, they're going to play some smash-mouth football, so he could get pretty beat up.
Yeah, I mean, in a two-quarterback league, Jared Goff is someone who I would be okay with having on my bench. You really do need three quarterbacks in a 2QB league, and as your third, it wouldn't be bad. I was very impressed with Todd Gurley, though. 16 for 88 and a touchdown, and three catches for 48 yards and a touchdown. They've said all offseason they want to get him more involved in the passing game, and they're doing exactly that. And Todd Gurley looks well worth his second-round draft pick.
Absolutely. All right, Packers and the Falcons. The Falcons beat the Packers 34-23. I guess we're still waiting on some news for, what's the deal with Jordy Nelson and Cobb? How bad are their injuries? Is there anybody, though, that gets some benefit from maybe this injury to Cobb or Jordy?
Devontae Adams, I think, is going to shine right now. I mean, that's pretty obvious. But besides that, maybe Allison, if I'm saying his name right, Allison.
Is it Geronimo?
Yeah.
Yeah, Geronimo Allison, yeah. He would take a step if both Cobb and Jordy are out.
Okay.
I think he does.
All right. All right, that is it for the week in review. Let's move on to the final chapter of this show, Waiver Wire Pickups and Buy Low, Sell High. All right, Chris, we're going to start with you. Give me some waiver wire guys that I should 100% try to target this week who are going to give me some fantasy value in week 3 and beyond.
Yeah, my waiver wire pickups, I'll leave one of them for Max because I know it's the one that he wanted to use. Jermaine Kearse and Devin Funchess. So right. Jermaine Kearse, I'm not going to go in depth on that because he's actually part of this week's great debate. It was Jermaine Kearse versus J.J. Nelson. So go back and listen to that. Got all my thoughts for Jermaine Kearse in there. Devin Funchess takes a step up due to the Greg Olsen injury.
All right, Max, I'm waiting for it, man. Give me some waiver wire talent that I can target in my leagues.
I like Chris Carson. He's clearly the number one back right now for Seattle. It could change, but I do like him. And I like Thompson, too, for Washington. I feel like he's going to be their passing down back. He obviously is. The kid is showing some great trust, I guess you could say, or a great connection with Kirk Cousins right there, and their defense isn't anything to like write home about, so they're going to be passing the ball a lot. So I think those are two running backs, two flexes that you should target in the waiver wire.
All right, very good. And personally, I am doing the streaming tight ends in a couple of leagues this year, and I noticed that Jason Witten is floating out there. I'm going to target him. Also, I've got Julio Jones in one league, and I'm going to definitely target Mohamed Sanu. I know Julio's not injured. He doesn't seem to be having any of those nagging injuries, but he's the kind of guy I think I want to handcuff with Mohamed Sanu. Might not get the full workload that Julio gets, but he looked pretty good this week, and I think if Julio misses a game or ends up as a decoy or is hurting his foot or something like that, I'd be okay with starting Mohamed Sanu in a flex position. Another guy we'll probably talk about on the mailbag show this week, Rashard Higgins in Cleveland. I'm sure Prophet Hoos will have some intel on him because he might be a very deep sleeper in bigger leagues. All right, so let's talk about possible trades. All right, Chris, give me some buy low, sell high guys that you might be working in some trade deals coming up here on week 3.
Yeah, buy low. I've talked about him a few times throughout the show. DeMarco Murray, I think, could be a great buy low candidate. Joe Mixon. this is going to be the last time you can get him cheap, I think. And then T.Y. Hilton. You can buy T.Y. very low, especially with the news that Luck is not starting week three. So if you have the wide receiver depth that you can maybe put Luck, or not Luck, put Hilton on the bench and then start him when Luck comes back, I think that's going to be great. So three guys you can buy low on. Sell high on Allen Hurns.
All right, what would you – real quick, I'm a DeMarco Murray or T.Y. Hilton owner. Chris, what would you realistically offer me for those guys?
Allen Hurns.
That I would not even look at. No, seriously, like, what would be a fair offer?
For T.Y. Hilton, I would think, let's say, let's go with a running back. I would offer Doug Martin for T.Y.
Okay. All right. That's reasonable, I think. I'd bite on that. Max, give me your buy low, sell high kind of guys.
My buy low, sell highs right now, my buy lows, rather, are Doug Martin and, oh my God, Danny Woodhead. I almost forgot his name. And Danny Woodhead, when he's back, Buck Allen's doing really well, but Danny Woodhead's going to be the guy there. He beat him out in preseason. He'll do it again. Martin, I like Tampa Bay's offense this year. He's going to step back into his regular role. He's got a few weeks until he plays, so the owner might be getting anxious. And my sell high is going to be J.J. Nelson. I don't buy it. He's doing really well right now. You know, the T.Y. owner could be freaking out, and that actually could be someone you might be able to target and be like, hey, you know, this guy's working, that guy's not. I have the depth to sit on him and wait like you really don't, something like that. So you're aiming high but not too, too high.
All right, I'm a Doug Martin owner. What are you offering me for Doug Martin at this point?
At this point, I might offer you Cohen straight up. And, I might offer Cohen.
I'd do that in a heartbeat. Cohen for Martin? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, Jordan Howard's out. Cohen's the guy. Like, you're good to go. That's fine. I might even go after Adrian Peterson, too, just because I don't think he's long for the New Orleans. Yeah, so I'd probably offer a Cohen. He's a waiver wire pickup. Maybe if your wide receiver depth was low, I would offer a Hurns for him. And
Emmanuel Sanders, I think, would be fair.
See, Emmanuel Sanders I would like to keep, but I could offer Emmanuel Sanders. He's coming off a big game. I think that'd be a fair trade, or it would seem like a fair trade. I think Doug Martin should step back right back into his RB1 role.
All right. I mean, this is great trade advice. If you have any other trade questions, don't forget you join us on Superbot app, and we will hopefully help you work through those trade issues as well. That is it for the show today. We've covered the recap. We've done news and injuries, and we even gave you some good waiver wire targets and some deals that we think you might want to make or think about making in your leagues to make your team just a little bit better. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Superwire show. Don't forget, head over to superwire.com for our rankings, our podcasts, including the great debate this week. You can submit questions through the site. We'll try to answer them in 24 hours or less. And also, please, if we help you at all this year, any of our advice gives you a win or a couple extra points, consider making a small donation to our friend Rob's GoFundMe page, gofundme.com/RobJR. He is dealing with chronic Lyme disease, and every little donation helps. Don't forget, you can always reach us on the Sleeperbot app, at Professor Chris, at Max SW, and at SW Steve. You can find us on Fantasy Life as well, at Professor Chris, at SW Steve, or just go to our Twitter, at Sleeperwire Show. It's another great way to reach us. We love to answer your questions and hear from you, and we want to thank you once again for listening. Best of luck on the waiver wire this week, and don't forget to tune in to the live Mail Sack Show on Wednesday evening around 7 o'clock, where we answer all your questions for the week. Get you ready for week 3.
Fantasy Football Show will help you win your fantasy football championship. Sleeper Wire, Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Sleeper Wire on Dash Talk.